We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Red Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 in the score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station, and my friend, a valued friend of mine.
Morning, Brad.
An acquaintance and former colleague of David's.
Former?
I don't know.
You know something I don't?
I'm just taking shots.
Morning, Brad.
Hi, Biggsy.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, I'll tell you, let's start with Mitchell Trubisky being back. Could he have played on Sunday? Would they have won? Do we even want to even go there? And will he not run on Sunday because he could be pursued by angry men?
No, I think he's going to run on Sunday because if the Rams are able to get the pass rush going, they're going to force him to flee the pocket. He's going to have to scramble. You get a quality edge rusher, and a lot of times the quarterback, especially the good ones, will sense the pressure coming from the edge and slide up into the pocket to deliver that pass. They'll take just the extra bit of time they need for the wide receiver to get to the top of his route, and they will, you'll just see him kind of gently climb the pocket and miss the pressure. The guy on the edge will just go past. Drew Brees is really good at it. Obviously, Rodgers is pretty good at that. Well, you can't slide up into the pocket with Aaron Donald bearing down on you or his partner in crime in Ndamukong Suh, because you would be headed right into their arms for a sack. So if the Rams are able to get that pass rush going, yeah, I expect Mitch to run. I expect him maybe to go feet first a few more times than the more awkward lunge that he's done. But, you know, he's a gamer, and he's going to want to win that game. And frankly, he's been so effective when he does run the ball. We talked about it the other day, about 9.1 yards a carry when you factor out all the kneel downs and QB sneaks and some of those things. So that's really a big part of their offense, certainly a huge part of their running game.
You know, Brad, this is a great opportunity for Matt Nagy. It's a great opportunity for Mitch Trubisky. It's a great opportunity for a lot of Bears to make national impressions on a TV audience across America. But what about James Daniels? Here's a young rookie, 21 years old. He gets to face, well, if he's not blocking Ndamukong Suh one down, he's going to be blocking Aaron Donald the next. How prepared do you think he is for this challenge? And is this a kind of stage? Is this a kind of opportunity that he could use to really build some confidence in his rookie season?
Well, I think he's got confidence right now, but you're exactly right. The bigger the challenge, the greater the opportunity is for this guy to let it be known how well he's playing. If James Daniels goes out there and has a big game Sunday night, he's a shoo-in for the all-rookie teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would and it would just help establish him around the league, because people are going to be watching the game, and there will be tape, and then it'll certainly establish him. Now, I don't know if he could go to center in the future, I think, being 2019, not later this season, but really an opportunity for him to make a name for himself. How prepared is he? When I walked up to him in the locker room yesterday, he was sitting there watching film on his tablet. So I think he's taken every opportunity that there is to get some work in. And he talked about Harry Heistand just telling him to trust his technique. So if you play your technique against a guy like Aaron Donald, if you get your hands on him, you've got an opportunity to win that play.
Did he look scared as he looked at that tablet?
I did. You know, he just looked kind of chill. I asked him. I said, "Are you able to get any sleep?" And he said, "Oh yeah, I'm fine. I'm getting sleep." So, but at the same time, he knows, hey, this is by far the best football player he will have ever gone up against. This is the most dominant defensive lineman that Aaron Donald's ever been asked to block in his life. Now, Donald will flip over to the other side and go against Brian Witzman some, but probably more times than not, he'll be over the left guard. And Witzman's a concern against Donald, or Sue struggled a little bit against the Giants, but I don't get any indication that the Bears are considering a lineup change and perhaps reinserting Eric Kush in at that right guard spot. Kush, we remember back to the beginning of the season, had that neck injury. Now, I don't think he is real limited by it right now. He's certainly been active on game day. Whether that's playing a factor in a decision to who starts or not, I don't know. But I think Witzman will get the start again at right guard Sunday night.
Brad, I don't want to pick an old scab, but do we know if Cody Parkey is practicing at Soldier Field this week? Are you concerned?
We'll find out today. Yeah, okay. We'll find out today. And he's, what, 11 for 11?
Right. It's working.
It's worked.
Yeah, 11 for 11 with 1 for 1 on the onside kick, right? So, yeah, he's been pretty hot lately. And I think we'll get an answer to that question probably when Chris Tabor talks a little bit later today. But, you know, you're talking about a rough commute down there to Soldier Field, especially if you're going to simulate the nighttime conditions, which they'll have against the Rams, which they prepared for against the Vikings when they played them in primetime. But you throw in that commute when it gets toward holiday season, man, those guys could be in the car an awful long time.
That's why they didn't do it initially, right? Wasn't that one of the problems?
Well, I mean, when are you going to do it? Because if you do it during the middle of the day, well, all of a sudden, either Chris Tabor or Brock Olivo, the assistant special teams coach, one of them's not at practice then, right?
Well,
you know, one of them's missing the practice that involves...
It's a night game.
Yeah, so practice at night.
There you go.
Makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, I joked around with the long snapper, Patrick Scales, a little bit. I said, are you able to get some type of overtime pay? Or because you're at practice and then you're at night practice. And he sort of got a kick out of
that.
Can
you introduce him to the Waze traffic app? I mean, there are ways to avoid
traffic. There's not any way to avoid bad traffic from Lake Forest to Soldier Field at night.
There is a train and there is a bar car for certain people.
There's a helicopter.
Yeah. Okay. Find folks at Channel 9 might help them out.
Yeah, so we'll get it. We should get an answer to that a little bit later on today. But, good news yesterday that Trubisky was full participant in practice. Good news, too, that Aaron Lynch was out there in practice because he was pretty hobbled at the end of that game on Sunday against the Giants after the game in the locker room. And I don't believe he appeared on the injury report, so that's a positive for them as well. You know, they've been fortunate in terms of health and injuries this season, and that's the kind of thing that can really pay off down the stretch, especially as you see some of these other teams where they just continue to add to the IR, and the Bears know what that's all about. The Redskins have been hit like that. The Bengals have been hit really hard. I mean, there's a handful of teams that have really been decimated this year, and the Bears were one of those teams the last couple of years, but continuing to have pretty good fortune in that regard.
We had a texter earlier who asked an interesting question, which is, you know, are the Rams a more balanced team because they've got Pro Bowlers on both sides of the ball? And while you talk about maybe four Pro Bowl players on defense for the Bears, maybe Tariq Cohen gets there as a specialist, which is weird. You don't really talk about Bears offensive players. Who would be their offensive Pro Bowler?
For the Bears?
Yeah. They don't really have one.
Yeah, you know, if you picked out an offensive lineman, you know, if you went with Charles Leno, the left tackle,
interesting,
potentially. But they don't have one. And I don't know if that the more balanced, maybe one thing you could call the Rams, although, you know, defensively they haven't played well this year. Now, they've been dealing with some injuries, And a key return for them was Aqib Talib, the veteran cornerback. Came back last week after missing some time, so he'll probably be closer to full strength this week. You know, they thought when they got Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters that they were going to be as good as it got in the NFL at corner. That's after letting Trumaine Johnson depart via free agency after they had franchise tagged him a couple times. So, but they've given up a bunch of points. So you're kind of waiting to see if that Rams defense clicks and comes together. But they're certainly more veteran on the defensive side of the ball, I would say. And then they've got some more established offensive. You know, Todd Gurley's been around for a while and is obviously as good as it gets. At running back, Goff's got another year of experience on Trubisky. So, but they're also offensively, guys. You look at it, since Cooper Kupp went out, they're not quite the same on offense.
They're missing something.
Yeah, because he was, you know, when it was third and six or third and ten, you know, he was the guy that could find that open space and really had developed a connection with Jared Goff and would help them keep drives alive, move the chains. So it'll be interesting to see how they continue to evolve with him lost for the season.
But, guys, the element of the Bears' offense that's Pro Bowl caliber is the play caller.
Yes.
That's the thing, is that when you have talent that is above average but not elite, your play caller, when he's having the kind of year that Matt Nagy's having, that elevates everybody's performance.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Brad, we'll let you go. It's interesting because this is a real game of opportunity because it's a night game, because it's national television. For you know, there is no battle here as to who the defensive player of the year is. It's Aaron Donald. But if Khalil Mack could go crazy in a game, and he's capable of it, and he's got some games under his belt now, and he's getting farther away from that injury, he could make an impact in that sort of thing. But they're talking in L.A. about an MVP. They're not talking about a defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
It's a little different level, to be brutally honest with you.
Oh, no question about it. And there hasn't been a defensive MVP, I believe, for 32 years, Lawrence Taylor, with the New York Giants. And Donald is right now the runaway guy for defensive player of the year, which would mean he would repeat. He won that award last year. J.J. Watt and Lawrence Taylor are the only two players to ever be named Defensive Player of the Year in consecutive seasons. The MVP thing, he's got a chance, but I think the Rams would have to finish 15-1. Okay, so they'd have to win out here. I think Patrick Mahomes and Drew Brees would each have to probably stub their toe once.
Or split the vote.
And then split the vote. You know, the Donald's going to have to continue on his tear, 12.5 sacks in the last six games. He's going to have to either set the record for sacks or come very close to it. Those guys stub their toe one more time and then, like you said, split the vote. Then Aaron Donald would have a chance to win that award. It's a little bit crazy that it's been 32 years since a player on that side of the ball has won the Most Valuable Player award.
I want it to happen just because I think it would bother Dustin, who says there's too much attention paid to Aaron
Donald.
Well,
fatigue.
Then I'm all for it. If Dustin's going to be bent out of shape, then
we're all on board.
Yeah.
All right, Big Z.
Thanks,
thank
Brad.
You, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Everyone loves Dustin. And we do. That's out of love and affection, Dustin. That's why we want you to really have some fatigue. And we will bring in Bruce Levine next. There's more news every time you turn around.
There's baseball gossip.
There is new White Sox news.
That's interesting.
Apparently the Dodgers feel that they can't get Bryce Harper unless Abreu comes too, because that's the guy he wants to play with. That's what I heard. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Goldie hits one pretty deep right field. Zobrist backing up. He's in front of the ivy.
Whoa.
And it's gone! 6-0 Diamondbacks. Well, Todd, you mentioned in the pregame show, Goldie has been killing these Cubs, and that's his 22nd of the year.
Play ball! Bruce Levine, 670 The Score baseball analyst.
It is all baseball.
32 years baseball veteran reporter.
Bruce, I've known you for a number of years now.
Breaking stories faster than a cheetah can run. And as far as I know, cheetahs are speedy.
I went ahead and broke the story on Twitter, and then, of course, had to write a story on the website at 670thescore.com.
Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine.
By the way, I loved you in The Wizard of Oz.
Bruce Levine.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And we go from football to baseball. And I neglected to tell you, our segment with Brad Biggs brought to us by UV Vodka Mix, the moment. And now we bring in Bruce Levine, The Score's baseball expert, and a man who will be in Vegas starting Sunday for the winter meetings.
Morning, Bruce.
Morning, Bruce.
Morning, guys. Goldschmidt, does that change the total dynamic of the National League Central as we start to warm it up before the hot stove turns to Las Vegas this weekend and the winter meetings? Looks like a lot of people are doing their business before they get there. If you remember last year, Theo Epstein made a bunch of stealth moves for his bullpen by signing three guys right before the winter meeting started last year. Cishek was signed. Smiley was signed. They took care of some other business as well to make sure that they were fortified before they went into those meetings. And from the point of view of Cishek, you know, of course, I left out Chatwood, and that was part of the signing. That didn't work out too well. But Cishek, one of the best relief pitchers in baseball last year, throwing 80 times, I think only one guy threw more games than he did, and he was tremendously effective, although wore down at the end. Those are the type of moves that maybe Hahn and maybe the combination of Epstein and Hoyer want to make before they move into the weekend, where you start getting trapped by the Scott Boris's of the world when they have their free agents that they're banding around.
So do you expect the Cubs to respond to the Goldschmidt move? Do you think that has any sort of effect on them? And what do you make of the chatter surrounding Wilson Contreras and his future with the team?
Well, you know, there's talk about Real Muto and the catcher in Florida and possibility of him going there. But, you know, they have him under contract control for a number of years now still. And Real Muto will be a free agent before that. Real Muto is an all-star. So was Contreras, the starting all-star catcher. You know, it just depends on what you believe as far as Contreras goes, whether last year was an aberration and the year before was more about what he's going to be in the future or projecting that, and who do you like better defensively moving forward. I think the Cubs are going to move toward bullpen help here rather quickly. Andrew Miller's name's come up, and he was a injured pitcher last year and not the dominant pitcher that he was in 2016 and before that. Nonetheless, you know, he is a guy that I know the Cubs have had conversations about, and with his agent Mark Rogers. Those are some of the things I think he wants to Epstein and Hoyer really want to solidify is that bullpen. Are you comfortable going in the season with Brandon Morrow as your closer after the injury situation last year and him being one more year closer to free agency and 1 year removed from injuries? So those are the type of things that you're looking at when you're looking at the Cubs. Sox are, rumored to be chopping Abreu out there. The Dodgers seem to be interested. That would be interesting. The Dodgers have a lot of good-looking young talent.
I'm fascinated by that idea. I just wonder, Bruce, as we sit here and talk about the Cubs and what acquisition they will make, there seems to be a feeling that they're going to be big players, even though they have stated that they're not going to be big players. And that money seems to have been spent from this year, last year. But everybody keeps texting and everybody keeps insisting that, every time there's a Nelly rumor floating around or a concert and Chris Bryant and Bryce Harper are together, well, he's coming here. What's the reality and what's the fiction? What's the fact? Will the Cubs spend more money? Will they acquire more hitting? Are they really going to try to settle from within, or are they, you mentioned the bullpen, are they doing anything else?
Mike, nobody really has the intel on whether the Cubs will spend the money or not. And certainly myself and I'm sure all the local reporters and national reporters have worked extensively hard to try to find out if that money will be there for a Harper at, you know, $330 million times 10 years. Would that be there? We just can't get a read for him, and that's done on purpose. Epstein and Hoyer are not going to show their hands, and obviously it's not to anybody's benefit as a front office person to show your hand that you're interested in Harper. The owner in Philadelphia has already shown his hand, said that we're going to spend a ton of money here, and you know obviously Boris and Harper are going to be looking at that. But we've known all along that Harper wants to go to a big city like Chicago or Los Angeles, and that's always going to make them a favorite. That's why the White Sox are on the periphery, having met with him in November, and the idea that you know, if this falls in line where he wants to come to a big city and he believes in their prospects, just like a lot of people do, that they're ranked by MLB Pipeline as the third best team in baseball as far as their prospects go, then there's a possibility there. But the Cubs, that's a place that he'd love to come to, and he's made no bones about it throughout his career that would be an enticing place to play with his friend Harper and, you know, just the buzz that goes on with Chicago baseball here.
All right, Bruce, tell us about the Dodgers' reported interest in Jose Abreu and what would it take to get him out of the South Side and maybe to L.A.?
Well, it's a one-year commitment to Jose Abreu. He's a free agent. And, you know, they talked about extensions with Abreu because of the fact, you know, that he brings so much off the field and he has that Cuban connection for all the young players coming through the system. But in reality, if the Dodgers are willing to give up a very young player or two along the way, they have a young catcher named Keibert Ruiz, a 20-year-old kid who had 12 homers last year at Double-A. Even though they have Collins and Savalo in their own minor leagues, you know, Collins might end up being a first baseman. Ruiz is a true catcher, really good numbers as far as offense. Defense, he threw out 26% of the base runners trying to steal on him. So that's the type of guy they like. They also like Gavin Lux, the number two ranked player for the Dodgers. He's a shortstop, 20-year-old shortstop with a 915 OPS last year at Double-A. These are guys that they're going to ask for and they're going to want. You know, look at first baseman in baseball. Tell me the strength. Whether you think Abreu is a superstar, there are no. I mean, it's a position after Goldschmidt and you know, you look at you know, certainly the Cubs. They have quality at the position, but how many teams have big time quality first baseman these days? The American League is totally void of big time home run and RBI first baseman. That's why Abreu was a silver slugger this year. So, you know, after Rizzo and after Goldschmidt, this would be a great addition for the Dodgers, even though it's only for 1 year.
Bruce, we'll let you go. We had an argument this morning about the division the Cubs are in here, the NL Central. Who's the best first baseman? And the consensus was kind of Votto followed by Goldschmidt followed by Rizzo, and that really upset a lot of the people
that
were texting. And Dustin seemed to be upset about it, saying that Votto's numbers are, you know, is empty and made up as Sammy Sosa. So I don't know if I agree with that necessarily. But
I mean, it's not his fault he plays on a team that's not very good and hasn't been for a while. They made the mistake of giving him a long-term contract. Kind of an untradeable contract at the time. Now that he's 34 years old, you know, nobody's going to gamble on that, no matter how good he is. And he's terrific. As far as an everyday player and who I would take, I mean, you know, take your pick. Goldschmidt's been an all-star for a number of years.
Rizzo wins
the Gold Glove. He might have had an off year at the beginning of the year, but he came on pretty strong during the rest of the year. I don't think you can go wrong with any of them. You know, flip a coin. But the one thing about Rizzo is he's still 29, and he's under contract control through 2021. I think that's a nice position for the Cubs.
All righty. Sounds great, Bruce. Appreciate
Thanks, Bruce.
It.
All right, guys, have a great day.
That's it's always fun. And Joe, you know, it's Dustin, of course, one of those guys used to bow to Sammy, and now he's criticizing about inflated numbers.
Held my cardboard cup of Bud Light and, yes, bowed to Sammy. We had like a 20 by 20 poster when he was on the cover of SI when he hit one of his magical home runs. It was a cover of SI that we had like specially printed. We held it in the right field bleachers.
Turns out one of the
best summers ever.
Turns out that magic wasn't exactly... What do you mean, so what?
Exactly what Albert... How about your guy, Albert Bell? Okay, he ever play with a cork bat? He played over 35th and Shields,
it
right?
It wasn't because of Flintstone vitamins.
Okay, at least he wasn't a
Dustin.
Jerk.
Yeah. Well,
okay, at least he wasn't a jerk about it.
He didn't cork.
That's also debatable.
He didn't cork himself.
He was a happy cheater.
Yeah. Let's see. He
looked puffy. Albert looked puffy.
Well, I
might have been Italian beef sandwiches, but he looked puffy.
One of his magical homers. It's just.
I like and then to come back at you. He brings up Albert Bell. Some revered.
I know.
Legend.
So strange.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Look at their front. Hicks is doing an excellent job. Obviously, Khalil Mack is an outstanding player, and they do move him around a little bit. You know, he's moved around where he's sometimes on the left, sometimes on the right. Leonard Floyd is a player that's gotten a lot better. You know, really, you just look at a couple years ago when I was in Washington, we played them, and you can just feel his growth and maturation. Aaron Lynch is always a guy that's made a lot of plays. And then when you look at their second level, you feel their speed. You know, you see why Roquan Smith's a top 10 pick, got a great feel in coverage. He can blitz and finish. Trevathan's been doing it for a long time. And then on the back end, I think, you know, you see all those ball skills where guys are making picks. You know, you talk about, I want to say it's 21 interceptions they have as a defense. Kyle Fuller has 6 on his own. He's got great instincts. He can play with great vision on the quarterback, and he plays with great technique. Mukamura is a guy that you've always seen. Just going back to when I was in Washington, when he was in the division with the Giants, he's a very good physical player. Bryce Callahan's gotten better at the nickel spot. And then when you look at Eddie Jackson, the instincts, the range, you know, he makes a lot of different plays, and Amos is a guy that's been doing it for a long time, too. So, great scheme.
What time is it, Dave?
10 o'clock.
I have to be in bed at 11, lights out at 11. We're counting cars.
Coach Wapner. Not Wapner, Coach Rainman.
Molly and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. You know,
that's incredible.
I don't agree.
Sean McVay
yes.
Going at his press conference on about the Bears starting defense.
Well, how is that incredible recall? Wouldn't you, if you were a coach of a team, wouldn't you, before you made a game plan, would you not watch the tape and determine
what they had? I would watch it.
I would watch.
You know what? That 39, he reads the quarterback really well. Oh, my gosh. Look at 52, the way he throws around offensive tackles. Look at 58. He can really roam sideline to sideline.
Go to our lads and get a depth chart.
Yeah.
And have it in front of you as you talk on a conference call.
You think,
easiest thing in the world.
Did he sound like he was talking off a depth chart?
No, reading words? But he didn't sound like Rain Man. He sounded like a guy that broke down tape of the opponent as he put together
Kyle
a game
Fuller.
Plan. He's an offensive coach.
Breaks on the ball.
He understands what's going on.
Third down.
I don't think it's – I'm a very good driver. I'm a very good driver. He's a very good pass rusher. He's a very good
– It's freaky how good his recall is. That's the point.
Nah.
No?
Wasn't that freaky? I think you hear that from a lot of different coaches. I don't think it's genius-level stuff.
With the description, with the name, the following the names. I get the numbers. I get the tendencies. But, boy – this is a guy, again, if go back, and maybe this is informing my opinion here or coloring my opinion. Remember when he was asked to recall a specific play that he called like a year ago or something last season and he could do it? He has a photographic memory.
Yeah, no, that's fine. A lot of people do. LeBron can sit there and tell you every play that was run as it was run and do that during an interview. I don't think that's that unusual.
You're not impressed.
It's not that I'm unimpressed. I just don't think that's the coolest thing I've ever heard. I'm surprised that so many people are overly impressed, because I think that if you know, he's got a job, he's got to study 31 teams outside of his own. He's got to know what his schedule is, when they come up on the schedule. He's got to spend an offseason. You know, that guy should know, every coach should know opposing personnel in the same fashion. You should have done a lot of preseason work on it, a lot of offseason work on it. This is our schedule. Here's what they have. And then you should be breaking down tape and looking at that stuff.
What you're saying is totally valid. And I think not surprising that he would understand the positions and the players who man those positions and their tendencies.
When was their bye week?
They had a long bye week after Mexico.
Yeah, it was like 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Okay, so you're telling me that when you have to let everybody go, and you're an obsessed person like any NFL head coach is, you're not sitting there looking at tape of catching up on what your scouting report was before you began the season.
We've all heard coaches who have a hard time, linking names with positions. All they see is numbers, and they see tendencies, and they see guys who they have to block and worry about how they have to scheme. You know, I think what was impressive from a human standpoint was just hearing him connect, you know, Roquan Smith, the names, Kyle Fuller, Amos even. He didn't include Eddie Goldman, which was interesting, but he did have Aaron Lynch. And I think...
Well, let me ask you something, and I mean this sincerely. Yeah. Do you believe that his knowledge of the roster in that fashion makes them more likely to beat the Bears?
No, because I don't think it changes anything about their ability to beat the Bears. I think that his recall like that, it underscores why he has ascended in his profession.
Fair enough.
As quickly as he's ascended.
I just think
he still has to put
a game plan together.
Oh, absolutely.
He still has to figure out
it's not an advantage that he has because he's really good, has a great memory. It's another trait of him as a coach that you see and you think, okay, I get it now.
Could Matt Nagy do that with the Rams offense?
I don't know. It reminded me of Bill Belichick
Bill Belichick's unbelievable.
He'll go through every player and he'll know this guy. And he had a free agent tryout with us, and I noticed he had bad feet, and then he wasn't good with his pivot and all these things.
I was at the Super Bowl one time. I was the pool reporter on the Monday because Dan wasn't getting there till later in the week. So I was filling in as a pool reporter, and I had to talk to Belichick. So you go to practice, and anybody that's ever been a pool reporter knows that you've got to do the introduction to the roster thing where you got the whole roster and you look for every guy and cross out that he's there. You look for every guy and make sure you're looking at the depth chart because you don't want to find out that the center went to Mexico and no one knew about it. It's called due diligence. Yeah. So I'm going through their whole roster. I'm doing everything I have to do. I'm developing the questions I'm going to ask the coach afterwards. And he comes up to me and he's like, yeah, you know, from Chicago, you know, starts talking about Urlacher, talking about the defense, what he likes about the team. Then he says to me, like, oh, you had a kid recently. You know, how many do you have? Like, the guy had done a scouting report. He had all this information about the Bears. He knew who I was, why I was there, and what I was doing. Like, that's how prepared Belichick was at a Super Bowl practice, which, by the way, it was the year they were playing the Philadelphia Eagles. And I'm watching this practice, and they got a lot of Bruce Springsteen going, and everybody's playing air guitar. They're having like a real good laugh. They're joking around. Was it Matt Light, who was the lineman, is doing a Harry Carey impersonation as they're stretching? They were the loosest team I'd ever seen. I called my buddy up after the practice, who is an Eagles fan, and God rest his soul, he's gone. And I said to him, you guys are in trouble, man. This team knows how to win, and they are loose as a goose. You guys are going down. No, the Eagles are going to win. The Eagles are going to win. Well, they got destroyed. That's Belichick. Everything already done, everything already prepared, everything already worked out. But that's part of what you have to be a successful coach in the NFL.
There are 32 teams in the league. And, yeah, people were texting like, oh, it's a big deal. He wasn't that specific. And maybe it's not that impressive. But there are 32 teams in the league. When you have a off-the-cuff knowledge and can recite, you know, every player on that defense, and you could probably do that for the other 31 teams that you may potentially play if you're the Rams, it's impressive. That's all. I'm not saying, you know, build a statue for the guy. I'm not saying give him Coach of the Year based on his ability to recall. Impressive.
You know, the other 31 teams, you got to know them, but it's the teams you play, right? I'm sure they've done all sorts of legwork. And again, I'm not saying it's not impressive. I don't think the Bears are losing the game because McVay can rattle off
plays. It tells you what kind of guy he is. It tells you what kind of coach he is. He's a pretty plugged in, intense coach. He knows who he's watching.
He's doing a great job.
Yeah.
You know, I just think that there's a lot of those guys in this league. I think it's an ultra competitive. What it tells you, you know, oftentimes before this year, you had this feeling that the Bears, when they were good, was almost by accident. It was almost like they had happy accidents and some fun went their way. And
you think
oh
Matt
my
Patricia
God.
Could do that?
Yeah, I do. He's a rocket scientist. I know he looks like he's kind of a schlub, and I know that he seems obsessed with other things. That guy's a brilliant guy. Where did he go to school? He went to whatever the school. I can't think of the name of the school, but it's like MIT.
Ask me a question professionally, and I'll answer it for you.
That guy is a brilliant
guy. I'm asking
guy.
Just to be a little respectful in this whole process. Okay?
Listen, I'm not saying that he's not a slouch himself and he's corrected a guy for slouching, okay? That is irrelevant to whether or not he's got a good brain. He's a really bright guy. There's a lot of really bright guys. No?
Yeah, sure.
Boy, I tell you what. Last time I tried, no more compliments
for Sean McVay. No more.
Oh, my God. Go get your Letterman's jacket on and take a running start when you're going to hit me.
Well, I think the big part of it was the delivery. The delivery, how he did it was like what was funny about it.
So handsome, too.
I get it. But, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is I don't want to be intimidated by the Rams because the coach could rattle off stuff like that. But I think there's a lot of really bright guys doing
I wouldn't be intimidated by that either. I would be impressed, not intimidated. There's a big difference.
Luke Moore is a guy that you've always seen.
Can you spell it, though, Coach? I mean, really.
Can you spell it? Yeah.
P-R-I-N-C-E, Prince.
Well done, Dustin.
All right. We have our blessed time of transition and crosstalk next with our friends and colleagues, Dan and Connor. And, boy, we're really looking forward to it and excited about it. And if anyone thinks that it's just some mandatory thing we have to do, then they don't know us. They don't know the love that goes on in the hallways, the camaraderie, if you can spell it correctly, that goes on here at the Score. We're really looking forward to it. We're going to have a lot of fun with it, and we're not going to make any jokes. Mullion Hall on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.